Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio here. And we are seeing the barriers coming down, Bill, right and left. The sexual revolution coming out of the 1950s and 1960s, the Supreme Court of the United States opening up the obscenity laws to include pornography in the 1950s and on into the sexual revolution of the 1960s and 1970s. And then now the legitimization of homosexual marriage, and pretty much all of the barriers are down. Let's see, polyamory's down, polygamy's down, incest is falling. Is there anything left? I think
yes,
they've
there is.
Pretty
there's,
much
there's,
allowed for everything now.
Yep, pederasty and pedophilia.
I guess that's it, right. That's it.
But those are falling as well.
They're falling as well, yep. We're at the point at which if there is no God, anything is possible. Was that Dostoevsky that said that?
Yep.
I think so. Yep. Well, friends, that's where we are today. And the Christian influence virtually nil at this point. Sadly, the Pandora's box is wide open, and our society has gone headlong into every form of social destructive behavior. And that's where we are today. We've already talked about how our civilization has come apart at the seams, and we are seeing the largest socioeconomic collapse of a massive civilization in the history of the world, probably since the worldwide flood, at least. Well, Cuties is the recent film that came out that seems to be rendering a fair amount of support to pedophilia. And critics liked it. I just checked out Rotten Tomatoes at 89% approval. That's one of the highest approvals you can get on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
89%.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
They won the Sundance Award for Best Director, I believe, Best Drama. Huge, huge, hugely popular film amongst the avant-garde. And the film is now coming under criticism for its underage sexuality.
Yeah. And the pushback from Netflix is that they're just exposing this as a way to stop it, okay? That they're exposing, they're airing this particular
program. I'm not sure that's what the director intended by
no,
the film.
No, it's not. It's like saying, well, I'm going to have a film about torturing puppies and kittens, and so that we will stop torturing puppies and kittens.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to produce a pornographic film to show the evils of pornography.
Right, exactly. And of course, what they're saying is that the hearts of men are not deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and they are not going to be voyeuristic with this kind of media and so forth and so on. But this is what has opened up the floodgates to every form of sexual perversion. This is it. It's typically the media. It's typically Hollywood. It's typically, you know, movies like Deep Throat and other movies that were so popular in the 1970s that opened up the way to the total destruction of sexuality in the 2000s. Bill, I can't imagine that you can destroy sexuality much more than it's already destroyed.
Right. I mean,
in fact, the pornography revolution has already given birth to so much of the pedophilia. Of course, much of it was illegal, but it was still a massive problem across America. I think it's a pretty high percentage of American kids admit to having been sexually molested. I don't know what the percentage is, and I, again, don't know how many tell the truth and how many don't tell the truth, but in our particular survey that we did for Generations, we found that it was rather high. It was upwards of 20-30% in some cases. Now, homeschooled kids raised in Christian homes were one third as likely to have been engaged in some kind of sexual molestation.
Right.
In other words, if kids had attended public or private schools, they would have been about three times more likely to have been molested during their childhood years.
Right.
According to the survey that we did some 6 or 7 years ago. And that was a sample size of some 10,000. And so I would say a fairly accurate survey. But again, friends, most of this has come about by this unrestrained sexual revolution that came out of the 1960s and 1970s, thanks to the Supreme Court of the United States. And don't forget the Beatles, and don't forget the rock and roll revolution. Don't forget that the pop culture pretty much led the attack to the sexual revolution and the sexual devastation that we have seen in the last number of years.
It's not just cuties on Netflix. There's a recent bill, Senate Bill 145 in California, sponsored by an openly homosexual state rep, Scott Wiener, Democrat from California. And this decriminalizes and takes off the state's sex offender registry those who have sex with minors, up to 10 years difference. So a 24-year-old can have sex with a 14-year-old.
Oh, I see. Right.
And not be put on the state's sex offender registry if it is consensual. Now, this is pederasty, mm-hmm. Okay? And it is reprehensible. So we are seeing the collapse of the barriers that protect our children from Netflix to the state houses around the country.
And this is what happens, friends, when a country abandons God. This is what happens when Christian culture no longer has influence. And this is what happens when 80% of professing Christians acknowledge to a pornography habit. This is what happens when the salt loses its savor. Friends, we are in a state in which the salt has lost its savor and is good for nothing but to be cast into the dunghill. And that's the kind of thing that happens when the National Evangelical Association and the Christian College CCCU Association approves of the Utah Compromise to render some support for homosexual marriage. This is what happens when the salt loses its savor. The church hardly has the position to stand and make a moral stance and encourage the nation towards morality at any level whatsoever at this point, especially since we have churches that have such a high fornication, a high pornography use rate, a high divorce rate. As long as the church is hardly different from the society around, it can hardly make that statement. Now, this film Cuties is basically a film about children leaving the polygamous Islamic world for the quote-unquote wonderful fornicating world of the West. That's effectively what they say. It's a coming-of-age film, but Bill, what it means is you have 10 and 11 and 12-year-olds who are coming of age, but not just coming of age, but leaving the polygamous society of the Islam for the quote-unquote wonderful fornicating world of the West in Europe and North America. Ethics change all the time in a society that has no moorings in God's law. And that's our society, my friends. We're told that children aren't supposed to fornicate until they're 21 years. I mean, 18. I mean, 15. I mean, 11 years old. Okay, now what was it? Children are not supposed to fornicate until they're 14. I mean, 11. So what is it? Why is it wrong for a child of 11 years old to fornicate? It's wrong because God says it's wrong. Now, it would be nice if Christians would say that, at the very least. But it's hard to get a Christian to say that. What about the proposition that all fornication is sinful because God says it's sinful? The Bible talks about sexuality outside the bounds of marriage being sinful. Listen to Deuteronomy 22:25. If a man finds a betrothed young woman in the countryside, the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. There is in the young woman no sin deserving of death. For just as when a man rises against his neighbor and kills him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the countryside, and the betrothed young woman cried out, but there was no one to save her. If a man finds a young woman who is a virgin, who is not betrothed, and he seizes her, lies with her, and they are found out, then the man who lay with her shall give to the young woman's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he has humbled her. He shall not be permitted to divorce her all his days. What is this saying? But that these are sins, but they're also crimes. So the Bible actually lays out the definition of crime for our benefit. This would be helpful for the civil magistrate to just think clearly on these sorts of things. Well, these are sins because the Bible says they're sins. And people have come to us from time to time and said, well, where in the Bible does it say that it's wrong to commit fornication outside of the bounds of marriage? Well, I just read it. It's Deuteronomy 22. Look it up. It's in the Word of God. By the way, Jesus used the word of book of Deuteronomy. And I think he referred to the book of Deuteronomy more than any other book of the Old Testament. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us.
And yet what we have in our culture is we have a major candidate for president who submits to an interview by Cardi B, who has a vile, we can't even pretend to explain the lyrics, let alone quote the lyrics, nor should we encourage people to go to the lyrics of Cardi B's latest song. And yet he is a fan of Cardi B because she is interviewing him. So he's legitimizing this very thing. And this is gross. It is repugnant. It is demeaning to women. It is the worst of the worst in the lyrics that you can imagine.
Well, demeaning women, sexualizing children, this is our society around us today. And I want to come back to this sexualizing of children in just a moment as we return on the Generations broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on this Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack also with me. Discussing this film, Cuties, the film is accused of sexualizing children. Now, that's a slippery term. Let's define our terms here for a moment. Is society encouraging young girls to signal to others they are available for a sexual encounter outside of the bounds of marriage? Is that what it is? Or is society encouraging younger children just to engage in sinful sexuality outside of the bonds of marriage? Or is society encouraging pedophilia? What is this sexualizing of children? I think it could be one, two, or three of these.
It's actually, in the case of the Netflix film, it's all three.
It's all three.
It's okay. All three.
Mm-hmm. Well, the sexualizing of children is not unusual. It seems to me it's been happening for quite some time. And we've come back to this a couple of times over the last 15 years of this broadcast. Seems like we did a segment on the Barbie doll thing some 10 years ago. Frozen, we'll get to that in just a moment. But the concern is training the 11-year-old girls to flirting by their dress, by their facial expressions, by the movement of their hips. Little girls taught to flirt or to invite a sexual encounter. And that's the issue here. Society has worked very hard to turn our daughters into Proverbs 5 or Proverbs 7 women. And what do I mean by this? Because the Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7 women are those that are inviting some sort of sexual encounter or presenting themselves as dominant in the sexual encounter. So they're trained in one way or the other. And now I'm not sure that society will always admit to doing this kind of thing, but sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. But that's what it is to sexualize an 11-year-old girl. It's training her in the way of Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7. Listen to Proverbs 5. The lips of an immoral woman, they drip with honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So these classes that young women are to take, and perhaps, you know, the media is the place in which they sit and learn these methods, but they learn how to operate as the immoral woman of Proverbs 5 or Proverbs 7, verse 10. There's a woman that met him with the attire of a harlot. So again, the dress is all part of this, you see, and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious, and typically this is referred to as the empowered princess. Have you heard this? The empowered princess of Disney or what have you. It's the empowered princess that is loud, rebellious, and she calls the shots in this sexual encounter. That's essential. Her feet could not stay at home. At times, she's outside. At times, in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him and so on it goes. Now, these are the warnings that are presented to the young man in the book of Proverbs, but also presented as a warning to our daughters as well. There was an interesting article presented yesterday from Intellectual Takeout, the article written by Annie Holmquist. And let me just read a segment of this from intellectualtakeout.com. Listen to what Annie Holmquist is saying as she interacts with the sexualizing of children, the Cuties film. When I first saw a clip of Elsa's famous Let It Go song in dance several years ago in Frozen, my eyes widened in surprise. While Elsa starts out mildly walking through the snow, she soon turns into a hip-swaying female in skin-tight, suggestive gown. I suddenly realized why so many of the little preschoolers and grade school girls I've worked with through the years sometimes walk like little prostitutes. They don't necessarily know what they're doing. They're just emulating their favorite princesses in their girl power moods. Now, apparently, she's a public school teacher. Writing the article. Again, it's intellectualtakeout.com, Annie Holmquist. And she refers to Frozen. She says, this thing that we find in Cuties has been around for a long time in Disney, and especially in this movie Frozen. The reference is to Frozen's theme song, Let It Go, where there's something of a latent homosexual message. Let it go. I'm free. No right, no wrong. Let it go. She takes off her clothes and lets everybody know the cold never bothered me anyway. While she's singing the late lead song, the empowered princess sheds her good girl clothes and dons a sexualized gown. Then people are surprised when their 17-year-old daughters turn up pregnant or lesbian or transgendering after watching their favorite movies about transgender Mulan, Elsa, or the rest. So, Bill, it seems to me that this kind of thing has been around for a long time. I'm not sure this is the first time we've seen it.
No. It's taking it to the obvious next level. And it's coming out of the shadows and into the light. They're shining a spotlight on this. Hollywood is, and making it very acceptable in our culture.
A lady named Dana Gresh wrote an article that I think was helpful in Christianity Today. I'm going to say in 2012. This would have been 6, 7, 8 years ago. Dana Gresh wrote an article that I think is helpful as well. And parents, pay attention to this kind of thing. Bill, I think this influence can affect the church as well. It can affect Christian families, homeschool families as well. That's why we need to be on our game. What is the Pied Piper doing with our daughters now? I think we need to be asking these kind of questions. A study referenced in Sex in America found those having both the best and most frequent sex were not college co-eds with a variety of sexual partners, but middle-aged people who embraced mutual lifetime monogamy out of respect for themselves and their spouses. So in other words, it turns out that in modest society, is a society that destroys sexuality. This is a point that Dana Gresh makes in her article. It's very, very good. You walk out into an immodest society. That's a de-sexed society. That is a society that is destroying sexuality for their sons and daughters in the next generation. And that's what we've seen. That's what we saw in the 70s. It's what we're seeing this decade as well, with the massive increase in immodesty all around us. And this is what Dana said. Very, very helpful. She says, I have two Barbies in my office. I don't know if she's a psychologist or a counselor or whatever she is. This is what Dana Gresh said. I have two Barbies in my office. Listen, the American Barbie wears a mini skirt and a low-cut tight bodice that pushes her breasts upward. Incidentally, some psychologists say that girls who play with dolls like this tend to confine role-playing to seducing the boy, placing them on a conveyor belt to an early sexualization. But the other, okay, the other Barbie, a Muslim Barbie named Fula, is dressed in a burqa. The only flesh you can see surrounds her eyes. These dolls create the same end result, a hyper-focused obsession on female sexuality. Both raise awareness of a woman's sexual nature and reduce her to being a mere sexual object or a body. Huh. In some Christian settings, women might as well wear burqas. In those settings where the female body is hidden in shame, men seem uncomfortable. I do not find this same sense of discomfort in environments where women demonstrate a healthy expression of their beauty. And she goes on and on. But anyway, the article is probably worth reading. Simply to say that the world is going to mess you up. The world is going to mess up your sexuality. It will mess up your daughter's sexuality. It will mess up your son's sexuality. Need I say more, Bill?
No.
I think that's pretty much the message today, friends. And here's the other thing. The focus. Where is the focus? When the focus is on the body, when the worship is on the body, in this whole workout revolution, this whole body image revolution, you've heard of it, Bill, where sexuality becomes idolatry, that's when God is not worshipped. We're just worshiping something else. That's what's happening. So let's not just say, what are they doing that is the commission of a sin, but what is they doing that is the omission of something that God has commanded? That's the first commandment. And so often it is, and probably in every single case, it is an omission of loving God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, worshiping God, thanking God. When God is not at the center, man is at the center, and the human body becomes a sexual object. So that's the first consideration, is we raise our children with a right sense of themselves, their body, and a right modesty about how they present themselves to everybody else around them. Modesty is also humility, something to remember. The word modest refers to humility. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2 refers to wives, they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be with the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, et cetera, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. In like manner also, 1 Timothy 2:9, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And a point that needs to be made here is that the message is not necessarily in the sexual modesty department. It's simply in the modesty, the humble department, and not presenting ourselves to the world out there, drawing attention to ourselves, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Friends, we need to focus on these things in the training of our daughters, not on the externals, not on the clothing. As Dana made this point in the article, we can become hyper-focused upon modest clothing or hyper-focused upon immodest clothing. Either way, what's the problem here? We're focused upon the wrong thing. It's an obsession on female sexuality or an obsession on the human body, and it ought not to be the case. It's a form of idolatry. And what we focus on the training of our daughters, if we read 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Peter 3, is what? Not the externals, not the clothing, but godliness, the inner person of the heart.
It's inner beauty that we need to look at. People are created in the image of the Creator. They reflect His image in a variety of ways. But we do live in a fallen world, and we put our emphasis on the wrong thing. And so, yeah, I mean, there is beauty. There is physical beauty. But we need to realize that the beauty comes from within.
It's a question of where the focus is. Yeah. And that's all that Peter is saying here. That's what Paul is saying here. Beauty is vain, charm is deceitful, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's what Proverbs 31 tells us. It's the focus is raising our daughters with the fear of God, with faith, with a love for Christ, and good works. Apparently good works is important as well. I guess the application is, do they sit in front of the mirror and, you know, just work on themselves for 3 hours in the morning, or do they go serve the poor for 3 hours in the morning and then serve their households and then serve others in the church or what have you? Is the focus on service? Is the focus on good works? Is the focus on worship, on godliness, on the fear of God, on love for Jesus and serving Jesus and rejoicing in the work of Christ, or is the focus upon ourselves and the way we look externally? Yes, indeed, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Let's not just talk about the negative, let's talk about the positive. Let's focus on the positive, the things that really matter. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Friends, we've warned you a little bit about the incredible influence of popular culture and the right way to view these things. And if you would like a little bit more on the influence of culture, pop culture, films, music, etc., and how Christians should interact with these things, I encourage you to our book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. And that little book, just about 120 pages, but it will give you a bit of a framework as to how to interpret, how to interact with popular culture. That book is available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.